Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are aware of your presence and also, Father, aware of our shortcomings. And we ask that you would forgive us, Father, for not being the bride that you want us to have. But as Brother Branham would quote the story, I'm not what I should be, but and I'm not what I used to be either. So I just thank you, Lord, for changing me daily, renewing me in the inner man. And Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to draw closer to one another, draw closer to thee as we see the days approaching. We recognize, Lord, that the world is moving at a very fast pace. The enemy has come in like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, turning brother on brother, sister on sister, and turning the world against your elect. And so, Father, we just ask that you would be with us as we study that word. As the scripture says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand our role as sons. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I'd like to speak from the spoken word as the original seed. Continue in our series. This is number 75. But before I do, I have one more comment on the subject that we spoke on last week concerning communism in the church or communism in America. Now we know that according to the scripture, what is happening in America is because she has turned down the message from God. We saw in Deuteronomy 28 where the curses of God are pronounced upon a nation or people who do not hearken to the voice of the Lord God. And we know to hearken means to pay close attention to. Now this is important to know because the curse can be reversed if the people would only turn from their wicked ways and hearken to or pay attention to the message of the hour, the voice of God to this generation. From his sermon, The Former and Latter Rain, Brother Branham said, "Then when they was all in there dancing and going on like a modern Pearl Harbor, when they were dancing and stripping young ladies of their clothes and running them through the streets and so forth, all of a sudden there was an attack. The enemy watches for a nighttime to come." Now listen, Brother Branham was a boxer. He knows as a boxer he was trained to look at the enemy or to look at his opponent and to study his opponent to know how his opponent would come in, come out, left hand, right hand, when we throw up the left combination, those kind of things. And so being that he was a boxer, he understands these things. And so he's telling us that the enemy watches for nighttime to come. He likes to come in the night. The great raids in our armies today is at nighttime. And that's what you talk of communism. Communism is laying for one thing. So if it's laying for one thing, it means it's here. But it's laying for one thing. We hear so much about it today. Communism wanting one thing. The nation's honeycombed with it. But it's waiting for that little spiritual that we have got to die out. Till it gets darkness in the church. So communism has been laying its seeds here since the 20s, actually, since it began in Russia. It began here amongst the universities and the scholars, you know, the so-called intellectuals and the Hollywood elites and many people in government. But communism is wanting one thing. The nation's honeycombed with it, but it's waiting for that, for what little spiritual we have got to die out till it gets darkness in the church. That's the only way it can strike. Let the Americans claim to be Christians, rise to their feet in the name of the Lord, call out, and communism would have no place. That's the only way it can strike. But we've right into it, and our churches is even full of it. Sure, everywhere. The whole thing's polluted. The whole body's polluted. There's only one sound thing and only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. On Jesus Christ is the only rock of salvation that I know of. The only way of escape is through Jesus Christ. He is the one. So we see it today with a godless America, because I don't care if 62% claim that they go to church or they're religious. They might be religious, but they're godless. They're godless because they don't know God. They turn down the voice of God. So you see there is a way out, but America will not take that one way out. They will not avert this crisis. She can't do it. Absolutely not. Why? Because she thinks she's rich. She thinks because she's increased with goods, but she doesn't know that she's poor, wretched, miserable, and naked. She doesn't know it. How could you be poor, miserable, wretched, and naked and not know it unless you're blind, mentally blind? So how can she repent when she doesn't even think that she has anything to repent of? But she does. And her condition shows she does. But she can't see it. So she does nothing but the same things over and over and over again. And you know, that's a sign of insanity when you do the same things over and over and over again and thinking somehow the outcome is going to be different. She got herself into trouble spending money she doesn't have. Right? We all know that. And now she thinks she can get herself out of trouble by spending even more money that she doesn't have. That is incredibly stupid. But we're forewarned that at the end time, the only people with a sane mind are those that have the mind of Christ. And we are there. And the only way of escape is through Jesus Christ. And that's it. So come into Christ while you still have time. And repent of all your wicked ways and acknowledge that without Christ, you're lost. You know, people say, well, you know, I've got a TV in my house. Brother Bram said we shouldn't have a TV in my house. But, you know, I don't watch those dirty shows. What shows do you watch? What commercials do you watch? Look, the programmers, if you studied television, you'd find out that the programmers are agnostic or reprobate Jew. Certainly non-Christian. And something like 94% of them don't even go to church. And you're feeding on their, what they want you to hear. You listen to the news. What are you getting? You're getting everything sifted through a seine. You're getting what they want you to hear. And so you make your decisions based on what they tell you. Now, in picking up at paragraph 53, the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham said, now that's why we believe it. That it is the word of God. Therefore, God's spoken word is the original. And everything that God created, spoke into existence, it's original. And you can hybrid some of his creation secondarily. That's the reason Eve could do what she did with her own seed. Because she wasn't in the original creation. She's a hybrid of a man, not in the creation of God. God created the whole thing, and then he took a part of his creation and made a helpmate. And that's the reason you can hybrid a donkey and a horse, but it won't last. It's death. But the original has got life. It come back again. I hope you can see it now. The original has life. So that's the reason I think that cults and denominations and organizations die. History proves they're everyone dead. They never did rise no more. They never will. They can't breed themselves back. Got nothing to breed with. They're sterile. That's why Eve's children dies. Why do you think in the flesh? The day that you eat thereof, that day you die. No man has ever lived 1,000 years because he came through sex act. God's original seed was to bring forth children by spoken word. Why do you think there's a new birth? Why do you think he said, if the one who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will also quicken your mortal body? Why do you think it takes the new birth to have eternal life? You see? Now, before we go on to the next paragraph, let's ask ourselves one question. Why do organizations and denominations all die spiritually? Because they've gone away from the Word of God, which is the original seed. And they've hybrid the Word of God with their own thoughts, their own words, to form their own creeds, and it won't work. It can't work. Now, Brother Brown continues by saying, now, I'm taking my time so the tapes and give the people time to study. I don't want to be in any hurry. I want to just take my time. I don't know what will happen from here on. But I want this to the people that even though someday God takes me from the world, if I don't live to see His coming, the message will still live on. True, stay with the Word. Now remember, every spoken word of God is the original seed. God planted everything in the earth by His Word. And as long as you stay with the original seed, it will breed itself right back and reproduce itself again. Hybrid it, it dies. And Eve, the woman, was the first hybrid thing that ever was. Now, I hope that you don't turn off the tapes till we get down and prove that after a while. See? Show you just why. She was a hybrider, a bride. Notice, through that brought death. Through trying to take the Word of God and mix it with some wisdom, you see, you're not supposed to do that. Whether you believe it's got wisdom to explain it, just say God said it, and that settles it. And God said so, and that's all there is to it. If you can't explain it, leave it alone, but just say it so because God said so. See, just say God said it. Now notice now, it will not mix. It must not be tampered with. God will punish the one that does it and will not hybrid to nothing else. It's God's word alone. God don't need your word with His. We're not supposed to speak our own words. We're supposed to preach His word, God's word. Now let's go to the scripture to prove this point. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. And I want you to notice what Paul is saying here. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, Paul is saying, since God has so generously let us in on what He's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What's Paul saying here? In other words, he's saying, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't beat around the bush. We beat what's behind the bush. I'm sure Paul hated church politics or any kind of politics. So he says, we don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And how many people do this in the name of growing their churches today? Or proselytizing another member into their church? And then Paul says, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Oh, brother. He's not just talking to the preachers here. He's talking to anyone who will twist the word of God for their own advantage. And how many people are going to have to stand at the judgment bar one day just because of that? Instead of believing it the way God said it, they twist the word of God to suit their own doctrine or the doctrine of their church. Or how many people are going to stand in judgment one day because they were respecters of persons and they twisted the laws of God for people that they know, but not for the people that they don't know? What I mean is that they are respecters of person and they have two sets of rules, one set for themselves and their associates, and another set for those who are not in their group. Come on. How many times have we seen it? Where people will come in among a church and they're not exactly right with God. But praise God, they come into our church. So we let it alone. Or praise God, they're putting money in the till. So just don't say nothing to them. Well, praise God, they're the biggest tithe payer in the church. So we better not say nothing to them. Come on. So Paul says we don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Nor do we maneuver behind the scenes with ulterior motives. Nor do we twist God's word to suit our own selves. The Bible says that a man shall not marry a woman who's been married before. A man and a woman should not marry a man who's been married before. And so what do? We look to justify ourselves. Rather, what Paul is saying is we keep everything we do and say it out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God whether we be speaking the truth or not. Then in verse 3, Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In other words, Paul says, if our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these are people who are looking at going the wrong way. They don't want the right way. The Bible says they would not come to the light lest their deeds be made manifest. So they refuse it. And they refuse to give serious attention. And they've been blinded by the god of this evil age, and not unwillingly, but they are willingly ignorant. And as such, they will have to pay the price for it. Basically, they're saying no to God. In verse 4, Paul says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So all they have eyes for is fashions. The fashions god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and they won't have to bother believing a truth which they cannot see, or may seem maybe a little inconvenient to them. But they're completely blind to the shining forth of the message, for God himself came down as a pillar of fire, a shining light, to shine upon the message that it came with. And the pictures have gone around the world, and the doctrine has gone into 187 countries, and so they think that because there are more of them who believe their way than there are who believe what God came down with, they think that they're in the right. And they will find out one day how wrong that decision is for them. And so we find Paul warning us in verse 5 that the message is not supposed to be about ourselves, but about what Christ has done for us. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And remember, brethren, our message is not about ourselves. Our job is to proclaim Jesus Christ. He's the one who made healing and salvation and redemption and inheritance available to us. And what the ministry forgets is that all we are is just little messengers. We are nothing but little errand boys for Jesus to you. And a messenger doesn't carry his own message, he carries the message of another. Therefore, he's a steward of that message. And if the man gives you a message to bear and you decide you're going to open and read it, and you're going to say, well, I don't like some of these things, so I'm just going to rip them out of the message and then give the people a broken up message, you're not a good steward of the message that was given you. Our duty is to preach it all. Not leave one jot or tittle left behind, but to lay it out. Then you can just dust your hands and say, Lord, I did what you called me to do. It's on their hands now. Paul continues in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it began for us when God said, I will come down as a pillar of fire to catch their attention, to bring the light of my presence to them in order to bring down the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of myself. And our lives became filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of the parousia presence of Jesus Christ. And how many people believe he's here, but they don't believe that the judge is here? The one that will be handing out the sentences at the white throne is standing in our midst. And we continue to play games in our lives. We continue to have false motives for what things we do or say. We continue to do selfish things or self-centered acts. And then we say, he can't see me. Oh, he can't. Not only can he see your actions, but he discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows exactly what you have in mind. The people in this message ought to be the holiest, holiest people on earth. There ought to be no hidden motives. in the people in this message if they believe the judge is here. But I'm going to tell you something. They don't believe it. It's doctrine to them. Because if they truly believed it, they'd be quaking in their boots. There wouldn't be false motives. There would be hidden objectives. The people would be just as open and just as real. And then Paul says, but we have this treasure. And that's the problem. We have this treasure, but it's in earthen vessels. God places great wisdom and knowledge of Him in stinking humanity, our vessels of flesh. And that's your paradox. Because God chose to place it in you and me and others of like mind. I shouldn't say of like mind, of like seed. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not a super race of people, but a God-cleansed race of people. But that's where our problem begins, because the treasure of the revelation of Christ comes into vessels that are supposed to reflect it out to others, and we wallow, and we allow our earthen vessels to get in the way. So if you only look at us, if you're only looking at one another, you might just miss the brightness of the Shekinah presence that came down in this hour. But that doesn't do away with the fact that God is here. The judge is here. You see, that is where Balaam missed it with God. He saw the sin of the people that he failed to see. The pillar of fire in their midst. I said he saw the sin of the people, but he failed to see the sin of the people. The pillar of fire that was in the midst of the people. And that is where Peter made his near fatal mistake. As long as he had his eyes on Christ, he could walk on water with Christ. As long as he was walking in the light, as Christ was in the light. He was having fellowship with Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ was cleansing from all sin. But when Peter took his eyes off Christ, that's when he sunk. And when you begin to get your eyes on the vessel that God is using, then you have better... then you've gotten your eyes off the Christ that's behind the vessel. And that is when you begin to start sinking. And you're sinking into the muck and mire of fault finding. Paul said we carry this precious message around in the unordained clay pots of our ordinary lives. And why is that? And let me just say this. You cannot look at any man today, and by his outward appearance, you cannot tell me whether he's serpent seed or whether he's seed of God. You cannot do it. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, the outward appearance. But he said, judge righteous judgment. And righteous means rightly wise. God allows all that in order to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power and glory with mere mortal men. Look, the greatest of critics of me, the greatest critic I have of me is myself. Probably the second greatest critic of me is my wife. The third greatest would be my children. The fourth greatest would be you. Because you see me in the flesh. You deal with me. You talk to me. I'm a human being. But in my heart is set on coming into the image of the eldest son and a great family of brothers. But you see, the treasure, that treasure, is in an earthen vessel. And it's in your earthen vessel too. So stop fault finding and just keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. I'm not. But let me say this, neither are you. Neither are you. But in verse 8, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Hallelujah. We are perplexed. Oh, are we not perplexed? But we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, it seems, from so many directions, but somehow we are not yet demoralized. In many cases, we are not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized by some, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down by some, but we haven't broken a bone in the process. So why fret? There is nothing that we have suffered that others before us have not gone through. And Christ went through much more than what we have to show us how to go through those fiery troubles and trials. On the cross, with his skin, pieces of skin hanging down, blood dripping down upon the cross, his vision impaired because of the thorns through his eyes, strips of flesh hanging from his body, the pain going through his feet that were pierced by nails holding it to a cross. His hands stretched back. His body slumped over so he couldn't breathe. So he'd have to lift up and push down on those nail-pressed feet. Lift his body up to catch every breath that he took. And yet he had time on the cross to say to the sinner on his right, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And in his final breath he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And yet somebody step on your toes, you push them backwards. Somebody don't look at you the right way and you think maybe they got an attitude toward you. And so you sit back, instead of going to the person and talking things out, you sit back and you surmise. And the devil gets on your shoulder and tells you all kinds of things that are going on that aren't going on. And fear is the greatest factor in men's lives. Because when the devil's got you in a fearful position, in an unknowing position, that's when he begins to whisper little things into your mind. And the greatest battle that ever's fought takes right place in your mind. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Hallelujah. What's he saying there? God allows the trials. God allows the persecutions. God allows people to look at you and say, ugh. God allows people to slap you in the face. God allows people to rip into your flesh. Why? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What are the trials all about? God is trying to make the life that he placed in you by the new birth come into maturity and show forth the nature and attributes of his Son. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have a promise that what they did to Jesus, they will do to us. So we receive trials and even torture, mockery, and even character assassination instead of the physical death. But what Jesus did among them, he can do in us also. If we just let him live our lives, if we would let Jesus live our trials in us. for us. Let Him live out the trial again in you, for you. For we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we're still living. Yet it's no longer we ourselves who are living, but Christ is living our lives for us in these bodies of flesh. That's what Paul said. If we can just let go and let God, our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, just let Him live out His life in you, and you will see His very nature, His very character develop in you until it comes upon you and it overtakes you. Just like the blessings, they come upon you and they overtake you. And the curses will come upon you if you turn it down and overtake you. But so will the life of Christ. It will come upon you and it will overtake you. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that we have that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Notice He's saying, we're not going to keep this quiet, not for 1 minute. As it was written, I believe it, therefore I say it. Therefore we say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up our eldest brother Jesus from the grave will just as certainly raise us up with Him to be with Him alive for all eternity. And therefore every detail is working to your advantage and to the glory of God. And in conclusion, Paul says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small in comparison to the wonderful times that are coming for us, and the wonderful time of adoption that lays just ahead of us if we are found to be the right kind of children. While we cannot yet see those things which are not yet manifested to us, yet God's word of promise is as sure as though those things already exist in our present state of being. Then things we see now with which are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things which we can't see, those are the things that will last forever. So in getting back to paragraph 58, Brother Branham says, now therefore true life can only come or reproduce itself by its original breeding. You see, life. Now study that. Now when you're studying the tapes and study it, life, L-I-F-E, can only be reproduced by its original breeding, the way it started at the beginning. Then it reproduces itself, see? And if it doesn't, it's a hybrid. It runs out. Some of them run out into the first generation. See, it's gone right then. It'll soon find itself back. It can't bring correct life because it's a hybrid. So by what life are we trying to live in these bodies? The one you're born with in the natural? Or the one that came to you by the new birth? And when you come into trials, by what life are you trying to get out of them? By your human ways of manipulation? Or by just letting go and letting God, riding the trials out? Do we try to undo things by lying and hiding the truth? Or by confession and fearing what no man can do to you? But God alone can. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. We are coming into more trials down the road. And it could be very soon. And if we're struggling to let Christ live through us with these simple trials that we have nothing to do right now with life or death, but which most of our trials have to deal with our pride. Oh yeah. That's where your trials come today. It's with your pride. Then how are we going to be able to endure the squeeze when it comes? When both physical life and spiritual life and emotional life will all be under pressure greater than you've ever experienced before in your life. Because if you're failing now, what then? What then? From his sermon, The Seal of God, Brother Branham said, when the great book is opened, what then? When the ones that's rejected the Savior tonight will be asked to give a reason, what then? Your job stood in your way? Your parents stood in your way? Your boyfriend stood in your way? Your girlfriend stood in the way? Your church stood in the way? What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the ones that's rejecting this message tonight, you're going to be asked to give a reason, what then? What are you going to do about it? You know what the mark of the beast is, and you know what the seal of God is. It's up to you. May the Lord bless you while we stand. So you're going to stand there, just as certain as this book is written. You're going to stand there and be asked for a reason. Oh, it pays us. My brother and sister, it behooves us as sons and daughters of God to check up on ourselves every day and every hour of every day. Paul said, I die daily, yet I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. You see? Be checked up because you don't know what hour you're going to be summoned to answer on high. Brother and sister, no matter how long you profess Christianity, if you're not inside the blood cell with Christ this morning, don't let today pass. Come in today. It's yours. You don't have to come to the altar. The only thing you have to do is accept it and believe it. And God, in return, if your faith is direct like Abraham's was, then God will give you the Holy Ghost to seal you into His kingdom, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. The Scripture says, grieve not the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Have you got that experience this morning, brothers and sisters? You didn't come here to hear me. No, I hope not anyway. But I believe that you come here to hear the Word. Now listen, my friends, if you don't have that rest, you can find it right now. You don't have to come up here to the altar, but just sit right where you're at. Be sincere and say, Christ, just speak to my heart. I know I haven't allowed you to live your life out through me, but will you forgive me and come into my heart right now and abide in me so I can abide in you? You said, Lord, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will come in and make your abode with us. Will you do it right now, Lord? Will you come into my heart and take over this vessel? I'm offering it to you. I'm asking you to do it. So grant this petition of mine, Lord, that I'm asking in the name of your obedient Son, Jesus. And this in His name, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you till we meet again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your words, Lord, because although they may have been a little rough, yet, Father, I know that they're so good because the flues are being cleaned out. Help us, Father, not to forget that we're being observed in our behavior. We're being observed in how we react to an action, as Brother Branham preached the message, a reaction to an action. And how we are taking those actions and turning them into reactions. But as Jesus said, when the man smites you on the cheek, give him the other smite as well. When a man speaks evil of you, he said, blessed are you if they speak evil of you because of Jesus Christ. Blessed are you when men shall speak all manner of evil against you for my sake. For great is your reward in heaven. And yet we're warned by Peter that if our trials are because of things that we have done, then he says, don't cry on God's shoulder. Just take it like a man. And Father, we pray that we know the difference between those trials, which are because of our stand and our love for Thee, and those trials because of our stupidity. But all things shall work together for the good of those that love You and are Thee called according to Your purpose. Therefore, whether we have trials because of our stand for Thee, or whether our trials is because we shut off our mouth, we know one thing for sure, Father, that regardless of whose fault it is, it's for our benefit and for Your glory. So may the trials come, but may the nature and character of Your Son come on even greater within us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.